Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Eddie Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, all the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Paul Darville, who's the head of collector cars at Bonham's Auctions. This is because Diego Maradona's old Merc is going under the hammer. It's got quite the backstory. Paul was very interested in the world of celebrity cars and the difference them being pre-owned by celebs makes. You actually told us quite a lot of your own stories this afternoon of owning cars once driven by the stars. Not quite as exalted as Diego.
No, definitely.
But thank you for those. You'll hear some of those. We also found out a bit more about plogging, which is a sport which is litter collecting while you jog. Hear us out. Yeah. We spoke to someone who was an exponent of it, and I think it sounds like a very good idea. He'll explain more. Duncan Murray Clark joined us. We had a bit of a chat about various things, didn't we, Andy?
We did.
We had a good old chat. And so you got involved, as always, which we thank you for. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Just actually on the note of a pre-owned car by a star, I once bought a car from Charlotte Bingham and Terence Brady. They wrote Yes Honestly, No Honestly, and Upstairs, Downstairs.
Oh, right.
Does
okay.
that count?
And it didn't find any
It
script?
Blew up on the motorway, and that was it. It never worked again.
Honestly?
Yeah, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
How long had you had it before it blew up on the motorway?
Not that long. It was 6 months.
And did you go back to them?
No, I couldn't really. You know, buy a beware. What can you do? Yeah, that's the way it was.
Oh,
anyway,
dear.
There we go.
Oh, that's a bit of... It's really brought me down.
I'm sorry, I've got over
we
it
are,
now.
Yeah, we are. This story, the story behind Diego Maradona's Mercedes that's going under the hammer in Paris, so we're going to be chatting to Bonhams later on. It's a big old sale. They've got some pretty special...
I mean, he's slightly bigger than them.
I think so, yeah. I think there are very few murals of the writers of Yes and No Honestly in Buenos Aires, as far as I... They're not global superstars.
No.
But occasionally you might... You know, you look at the logbook, you think, oh, blimey, can that be the same one? If you've had a vehicle that's been pre-owned, but as we say, by the stars, and the lesser the star, the better, I would say. Do let us know. I think so. Well, I don't really care. It's open-ended. It's up to you. Okay. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Because, you know, another one, I think, a Porsche, when he was in Spain, went for double the price because of the Maradona connection.
It's amazing, that.
So
it
does make a big difference. Anyway, your team's done a bit of business, as we were just hearing from Flex. João Felix has come in on loan from Atletico Madrid.
That's just what we need, isn't it?
It's
brilliant, really. Can he play right back?
Let's hear from Terry Gibson. Let's see if Terry can cheer you up. He was on the show with us yesterday, Spanish football expert and a former front man at a number of top British clubs, of course, as well. And he's watched a lot of João Felix play at Atletico Madrid. And this was his take.
I think he's misunderstood. I think we're classing him, bracketing him as a number 10 and someone that can play wide and drop in deep. I've seen him play enough times as a centre forward. He's not your stereotypical big number 9 that holds the ball up well, but he's better in the air than people give him credit for. He's more aggressive than people give him credit for. He doesn't mind the physicality of a centre-half, you know, getting close to him and putting his foot in. He's had his disciplinary issues where he fights back. He has a great first touch. He's a brilliant dribbler. He's a great finisher. I think he's a super player. But at Atletico, he hasn't really found the position. I think he's a really quality player. So you can play him up front. I've seen him playing that role and he enjoys it. He wants the responsibility, always wants the ball, wants to be a leader. So I think it might surprise a few people.
There we are. And that comes from Terry knows a diminutive front man Terry
Gibson. He's a very good player. But the thing is, you know, we've got a lot of that type of play. It's not what Chelsea need. This has been the hallmark of Todd Bowley.
Adding quality to the squad is not a bad thing, is it?
No, but, you know, look, I'm telling you, I told you the other day, Chelsea, the only team to spend 300 million quid and be worse than they were before. I just think the players they've bought haven't been right. You know, you've got to get the right players for the right positions.
Yeah. We're going to talk about this later on with Darren Lewis when we look at the transfers, but you're more excited by the prospect of Carl Walker-Peters
coming in. I am, because it's what they need. They need a backup. You know, you've got a player like Reece James, a wonderful player, but he's not going to play 60 games a year. He's already shown that. So you need a good backup. And if the backup's playing really well, Reece can play in other positions. He can play in midfield. He can play in the back three.
Part of the three, yeah.
You know, it's just daft to say, well, we can't sign anybody because we've got Reece James. We've already lost Livramento and Lamptey because they didn't show him a pathway by selling Azpilicueta.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's not Bowley's fault. That's the old regime, you know. But anyway, it's enough of Chelsea for now. I see that David, we're going to talk about this. Romeo Beckham made his debut.
Yeah, we're
going to
chat to someone who was there last night. It was quite a big turnout for Erith Brentford B. Normally get that sort of crowd.
533, including David himself.
A lot of photographers rocked up as well.
But I was very interested in the quote from Brentford B boss Neil McFarlane, who obviously must be a fan of Chris Kamara, because he said his father was an unbelievable player with unbelievable character and an unbelievable career. Unbelievable, Jay.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Yeah. And what else have we got here? Oh, yes. I was listening to The Archers last night.
Oh, are you really? Yeah. Blimey. Again, this is the second time in two days you've told us you've moved. That mine's permanently welded onto Talksport.
Is it permanently welded? Mine is normally permanently welded, but at night we like to listen to...
Well, the trouble is we don't have a continuing drama about country folk, do we?
I know, it's very disappointing. I wish we did.
We've got Charlie Baker in place to do something like that, to put a little kind of rural...
I think that's a really good idea.
A little rural drama for 15 minutes.
A bit of a link to Talksport.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I didn't just bring this up for nothing, just to talk about some mundane thing in The Archers. So anyway, Jakob, the Polish village vet, is on holiday and he's let his brother come to Ambridge and stay in his house. Mm. And who should his brother be played by but none other than TalkSport's finest, Steve Hartley.
Oh, mate, Steve.
Steve Hartley. It was really odd to hear his voice in The Archers. Steve Hartley.
TalkSport. The voice of TalkSport,
it's quite
Steve.
Odd because
great
his brother's
actor.
Got a Polish accent, but Steve's just speaking like Steve. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
He's been here a long time. Is he? There's not a hint of Warsaw in there, no.
Not a hint of Warsaw.
Not a soup
even
Gdansk.
Doing that northern one he does sometimes.
But they've not explained it. There's no one said, oh, you don't sound like your brother.
No, exactly.
Nobody said that.
No. Aren't you the bloke off TalkSport? This is the world's finest sports radio station.
Yeah, that's right. It would be great.
It's really
like the Bowman. Do apologise to anybody who doesn't live in a city for those terrible accents.
Excuse me.
Manchester United, Manchester City this weekend. And old Pep gets a lot of clogged for overthinking. And he takes the mickey out of himself. And he takes on the press when they think, well, what's he got planned for the derby? And he's been a bit cryptic. This is what he had to say ahead of the game.
I would like to arrive against United more or less with the average of minutes and the legs of the players quite similar. Because I have a few ideas... thoughts, ridiculous ones, went to United.
He's got a few ideas and a few thoughts, he says, of what he's going to do, but he's not telling us what they are. He said, I think he was basically saying he had some fairly crazy ideas.
It's a very tough game for them. It's probably the toughest Manchester derby for some time. United are playing well.
Yeah.
You know, and they've got a manager who's got experience and brought discipline to the club. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
I was fascinated with Pep, though. Whenever Pep supports you, whenever Pep shakes a player's hand or a manager's hand, or after he says, get behind him, you think, do the opposite.
Yeah.
Do the opposite.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Pep Guardiola, head of the Manchester derby this weekend, says, I have a few ideas, thoughts for Manchester United, ridiculous ones. Well, if he said it, but he won't tell us what they are. We're going to need to fill that void. Dan, the West Ham fan, said Stuart Pearce did bring David James on up front for City. So maybe Pep will go for Emerson up top. That wouldn't be bad, would it? He's got a hell of a shot on him, I would think.
He'd be brilliant.
And Haaland between the sticks. I imagine he's not a bad keeper.
No.
Pep is he's maybe not the innovator we think. Piercy did it first, says Dan. Yeah, that's very true. Perhaps Pep will take total football to new levels and have his team turn out wearing clogs instead of boots. Okay, not a bad idea, David. Thank you very much for that.
They still could have beaten Chelsea on Sunday.
Yeah, quite possibly. Also, the stars and their cars. Diego Maradona's Merc coming under the hammer very soon. And you're telling us your tales of the pre-owned vehicles of the stars. In 1974, my dad wanted to buy an Audi from a garage in Coventry. In the logbook, it said the previous owner was a Mr. T. Hutchinson. Dad rang the club, guessing it was Tommy, and asked him why he was selling it. Tom said he'd got a free marina for making the Scotland 74 World Cup squad.
Wow.
So he was selling the other one. It was a lovely car, albeit with brown velour cloth. Well, those were the days, Julian.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you don't get a lot of brown velour cloth these days. Thank you very much for that. Anything else, Andy, you want to talk about?
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, hold that thought.
Oh, okay.
Because we've got plenty more to come, and save yourself.
Oh, I'd like
I
to.
I don't like springing things on you. You got a bad cough. I don't like
that. No, I was ready.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We move on to the ever-growing sport of plogging. I've never heard of it until the other day.
No.
I read a little story, let me bring it to you. Student Vivek Gurav, 27 and 250 pounds, collected 360 kilograms of litter in 30 towns while plogging, picking up litter, jogging. Who knew?
Quite difficult though, because if you are on a run and you break, you bend down to do your shoes, everything, it does quite affect you, doesn't it? It
breaks you. Okay, well, let's find out, because Duncan Murray Clark plogs. Do they call it that? I don't know.
Who knows?
Hi, Duncan.
Good afternoon. Hi, gents.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, it's a fairly obvious, basic thing to explain. That's what you're doing. You're picking up litter while you jog. Environmentally friendly jogging. Is that what got you into it?
I think lockdown, in a word. There wasn't a lot else to do, so I took up running. And then when I was running, you notice all the litter that's kicking around, and started picking it up, really. But obviously plogging had been invented before that. I thought I was the first one, which would have been nice. But,
so you did it not knowing of the existing sport of plogging.
I didn't know of that high profile sport plogging. No, it hadn't crossed my radar. But it makes you feel quite good, actually, when you do it.
So do you take a rubbish bag with you, presumably?
I think, well, you're going to put them in your pocket.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, so you take a black, you run in with a black bin.
Might run to the next bin or something.
Run into a black bin. Well, how do you do it? Talk us through it. Your system, anyway.
Well, yeah, you see, that's a very interesting question because, what do you do with the rubbish? I do take a bag out with me. But sometimes it's more than the bag load, and you do have to use the facilities that are other people's wheelie bins on the side of the road.
All
so
right.
It's a little bit controversial, obviously, because I don't ask permission. But when caught in the act, they're pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, because some people get very terrible. I mean,
it's all about what you put in each different coloured bin. It's quite complicated.
You're halfway through a run. You can't stand there with three bins. Oh, that's recycling, is that? I'll have to read the back of the packet. That's not practical from your point of view, is it?
No, it's not. But you've got to think that one through. So when I'm running, I'll just pick up like recyclables.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be like the cans of cider or the fast food, packaging, that kind of thing. And then of course you can go to your green bin and it's all right. But there's more to it. It's planning involved.
Carry on next. What was you going to say?
Do you despair sometimes about some of the stuff you have to pick up? Sometimes I'm running, you just see someone's throwing like half a McDonald's or something away. And you think, what's that?
The ones chucked out of car windows are the ones that do me. I mean, that is just unforgivable, isn't it?
It's the red mist comes down when you see that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, it is a bit soul destroying, and it's interesting what you find, obviously. Mm. And it goes through phases. You know, there's you'll find somebody's had a big party just with Strongbow cider or something. I don't know.
Okay.
You know,
well, that sounds like my
found
kind
anything of
party.
Value. Yeah, that's true. Have you found anything of value?
Yeah, that's true. You might find it's a bit of detectorist kind of thing. Have you ever come up with, you ever bent down, that's not rubbish, that's a solid gold watch or whatever?
No, I've not found anything of value, sadly. I found an arrow once. That was interesting.
An arrow?
Yeah, an arrow. Okay. That was random. It was just on the side of the road. But, I don't know. Maybe it's fallen off the back of the dustbin lorry or something.
Oh, these archery people are so careless.
You were talking about the archers earlier on, weren't you? Because it's a big community, isn't it? It all started, as it often does, it all started in Sweden. Environmentally conscious runners started running with plastic bags. And then they set up Plogger, which was the website. And there's, I mean, there's a UK plogging site. If people are listening, think, you know, it sounds like a useful way to do my running. So, it's a huge community globally, isn't it now?
I think it is. I mean, obviously, I did invent it.
Oh, of course,
But I think the other thing that's quite handy about it is that if you're on Strava or something, it does slow your time down. But right. you've got a valid excuse.
Yeah. No, it's a good thing. It's a very good idea and a very positive thing to do. What sort of distances do you tend to do then when you go out, Duncan?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I usually, let's get this right. I'm not built like a runner, okay?
No.
I do a few charity things. So this week I'm not plogging because I'm running for it's called Run 1000, which is for rural mental health. Mm-hmm. It's like a England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales thing, and we all compete and I don't plog. So I haven't been plogging this week. So I feel a bit of a fraud, but I am up to my 160th plog because I do register it on Strava.
Oh, good. Well, it's a good thing. And I understand you know Charlie Baker. And Charlie, apparently on Instagram earlier on, he's been jogging today.
He was out for a run today,
New Year, new Charlie's. He's gone out for a jog. So just get a bin bag into his hands, Duncan. Get out jogging with him.
I will. I'll probably see him on the squash court next week. So I'll have a word with him. But I saw something in spandex. Earlier on, actually.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Through the village.
He's a man who very much buys into all the gear.
Yeah.
He will get all the running gear in. He'll have the old torch on the forehead.
Seriously,
oh,
he
does. Good to me. No half measures with Charlie. Anyway,
No.
We'll keep up the good work, Duncan. Thanks very much.
I will do. Nice to speak to you guys.
There we are. There's Duncan Murray-Clark, Plogger. Plogging UK on Twitter. If you want to go and find out how you can do a bit of good. And so it's a community of people, a bit like Parkrun. People will get together, they go and they go around their local area, doing a bit locally.
It's a good thing. You keep yourself fit, keep your local environment nice. It's got to be good.
You're going to start doing it, Andy, around your way?
Well, I don't really run anymore.
Have you not really? You used to quite your little jog?
Well, I used to, but you know. Give me a break.
Was that old boy still doing marathons at 96? You're never too old.
No, I do indoor workouts now.
Oh, do you really?
And lots of walking.
Okay. And I go, okay, well, that's good. That's good. You keep yourself fit. That's all that matters.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Jeff Peters was telling us earlier on about a job going at Leicester City, someone to look after their 9-hole golf course. It's at the training ground. Who knew they even had one? Stu's back up a ladder in Bournemouth after his hip replacement. Tells us, perfect candidate, lads, Gareth Bale.
Looking for
something to do.
Yeah.
He can probably play it as much as he likes.
Honestly,
he can watch Leicester train it, maybe help out with the set pieces.
Some of the letters to the Daily Star about Gareth Bale fascinate me, honestly. This bloke writes, Watcher is called. This is add to laugh. Bale's retired, bin, retired for years, drawing $560,000 a week for warming his lazy, you can imagine, on Real Madrid's bench. Sam Ricketts on Sky describing him as humble. What? The guy's worth probably $80 million. Good riddance. Is any cheap? I wonder how much you've achieved in your life compared to Gareth Bale. I just guess.
I don't know about doing maths till you're 18. Sounds like English wouldn't be too bad. Some of the grammar in that. Tremendous. Anyway, you're also telling us about the cars you picked up from the stars. Bought a white Sea Reg Astra GTE from a garage near Bristol back in the day. It used to belong to Gary Penrice, who played for Bristol Rovers and QPR, amongst other teams. It broke down 3 miles from the garage and was an absolute nail of a car, says Heggie. Fantastic. Well, look, I'm sure if you were showing an interest in Diego Maradona's Mercedes, classic 1980s Mercedes, it'll all be in good working condition. It's going under the hammer in Paris as part of a sale of iconic cars. It's got a bit of a backstory to it. And joining us now, head of collector cars at Bonhams, Paul Darville. Hi, Paul.
Hello, good afternoon.
Wow, yeah. I'm looking at the pictures from your page. Lovely, beautiful red Mercedes. As we said, given extra interest, not in the fact that it was owned by Diego Maradona, that it was handed to him by the then Mercedes dealer in Buenos Aires, the man in charge of it, Fangio, the legendary driver.
Absolutely, yeah. It's got so many elements, this car, a tangible connection to Maradona that I was going to say can be had relatively affordably. That is a relative. Yeah. but when we see in the past shirts sold for Maradona and other pieces of memorabilia, we have high expectations for it, let's say.
Yeah.
I mean, classic cars are a pretty good investment. This one's got very little mileage on it, but how much of the premium is there because it belonged to Diego, the provenance of it all?
It is a significant premium. If you want the 1980 Mercedes-Benz 450 SLC 5 litre, very, very good starter classic, but I suppose these days you're buying a nice example for £30,000-£40,000. So it's a significant premium, but there is a precedence. Actually, 2 years ago we sold a Porsche, a 964 that had belonged to Maradona when he was playing in Spain, and that did over €400,000 at the time. And that also had a nice story. A nice picture came with it of him being stopped by the Spanish police for speeding with it. So,
Where's the car being kept since those days?
You're not going to lift it, are you, Andy? You haven't got an international ring of car thieves lined up.
Presumably it must have come from Argentina. Yeah.
Can you specifically tell us the lockup it's in and what time the security guy knocked off of the
Naturally, a certain amount of confidentiality. It did stay in Argentina most of its life. It then came into California. And is leaving North America now to come back to Europe, probably for the first time since 1980. We felt that bringing it to Europe was a nice opportunity. See, potentially a bigger following on this side of the Atlantic for Maradona.
Maybe I was going to say a collector, maybe in the Middle East where fuel isn't quite as expensive. A five liter. I mean, well, you're not going to get a lot to the gallon, are you, to the litre?
Yeah, not going to get a lot to the gallon. It was fascinating. When we sold the last car, the level of enthusiasm and the number of bidders from around the world was really incredible. Far East, Japan, China, Middle East, North America and Europe. The Maradona name really does pull people in from well beyond your typical classic car buying regions, let's say.
Provenance-wise, there must be a press photo, I would imagine, of Fangio and Maradona.
Yeah, that handover you always get story with the dealership, yeah.
Yeah, you've got the registration with his name on it, signed. So it's there. I think period pictures, I think it was right at the beginning of his career. There isn't a period picture we found yet. If you've got one out there, we're keen to hear from you.
Okay.
Beginning of his career, but it's there, his name on the registration document. And I think it's potentially made even more fascinating by the fact that this car was gifted to him right at the beginning when he wasn't yet probably the household name that he would yet become internationally.
Yeah. Do you ever get to drive these, Paul? Do you ever get to put them through their paces? That would be a lovely perk of the job, wouldn't it?
As you can probably tell, my knowledge sits within cars rather than football. Mm. So you can forgive me on that. But we do get to drive them occasionally, not as much as any of us would like. Obviously, these are client cars. We're representing them. But we do sometimes get the opportunity to drive them if we're doing promotional videos or if clients want a test drive report. Sadly, not as much as we would like.
Yeah. And this is not going to be someone's runaround, is it? You would imagine that it will be driven occasionally if they're going to make this sort of investment. I'd like to think it's going to be driven, right? I think it's going to sit there as some sort of collector's item.
I hope it gets shown. I hope it gets it's shown around car shows and maybe other events. Mm. Most of these cars don't get driven an enormous amount, although you'd be surprised how many clients have significant cars and do really enjoy driving them. And that's the thing about collecting cars. You want that experience as well as the history and the provenance sometimes.
This big sale that's coming up in Paris, you've got, I mean, I don't know if there's any other sports people's cars, but I see there is a Robert Redford Porsche from 1964, a 904 GTS, which is going to go for a very serious amount of money.
Absolutely. That car we actually sold last year. So that we sold successfully last year. And we've got some interesting cars this year with sort of sport, obviously more motorsport related histories, including Michael Schumacher's first Formula One car. So for the pure motorsport enthusiasts, there are also plenty of interesting things coming under the hammer.
What's that expected to go for, an F1 car?
Low estimate on that is 1.4 million euros.
Wow.
But again, you're talking a true sporting great, probably one of, if not arguably the greatest Formula One driver, and his first car. And I think that's a magic combination.
Yeah. And that Robert Redford car, he went for 1.3 million euros last year.
Absolutely. Wow. Celebrity provenance sometimes adds significant value. Anything McQueen, we know Steve McQueen for car buyers, somehow is a golden ticket. And in the past, we've seen it with Maradona as well. There is clearly a crossover between football fans, Maradona fans, and car fans.
It doesn't sound like Gary Penrice's car that we just brought up before you came on will be going for a great deal of money.
You want to pass my contact details over?
Boxer
Aston GTE, wasn't it?
I think
hard pressed to find one.
Described as an absolute nail of the car by the owner after Gary. So okay,
I think they built them that way.
Yeah. Well, look, good to talk to you, Paul. Thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure, absolute pleasure.
There we are, Paul Darville there, head of collector cars at Bonhams Auctions. So, yeah, 150 to 200 grand if you've got that going. You want a little bit of Diego?
You'd never get an F1 driver now, would you, owning a dealership? It's not going to happen, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so. That would be interesting, though, wouldn't it? You're just suddenly there, you're looking for a little run around. You just think something to get you to and from work, you know. And then you're standing there and you're kicking the tyres and you're having a look at it and Lewis Hamilton wanders over. You're looking for anything in particular? That's a lovely car, that. It's only got 6,000 miles.
Good,
it was actually my sister's car. She took the kids to school. Hang on, I'll go and get the keys. It's not going to happen, is it?
Not really.
Happen. Where Lewis suddenly walking out like Swiss Lewis, with a big car coat on. This is true. I mean, the things that used to happen in the world of sport. I mean, it's like walking into a pub and expecting to see, like, you know, one of the great, I mean, you know, you're not going to walk into a
doesn't
pub.
Happen.
You're not going to, you know, Harry, I mean, I don't think Harry Kane's going to buy a pub in Essex.
No, it seems unlikely.
Even in George, the usual. I mean, you know, that was the route, wasn't it? Ex-footballers, pubs or haulage. They were, for some reason, they were the two business worlds that were attracting, especially pubs.
Pubs.
Big Alan had a pub, didn't he?
Big Alan
was
a pub.
Wasn't in the
pub. There should be a pub in Hammersmith belonging to the sort of famous Fulham player, Bedford Jezzard.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lovely pub, that was.
Used to pop in there, Andy, didn't
he? Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I never saw him there.
You know, okay.
No.
He wasn't front of house.
I don't think he was.
He wasn't a manager/host. Okay, fair enough.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paddy's Challenge on TalkSport with Hawksby and Jacobs. What critics are calling one of the many radio quiz segments happening this week. Paddy Power. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Yes, time now for Paddy's Challenge, our weekly quiz for charity in association with our friends and official betting partner, Paddy Power. In Paddy's Challenge, we put our sporting knowledge to the test with a chance of raising lots of cash for our nominated charities. I'm playing for the Sporting Memories Network, and Andy is raising funds for the Willow Foundation, helping to manage proceedings and ensure fair play. Here's our guest referee, Mr. Ben Fletcher. Welcome.
Good afternoon. I can barely keep up with my radio rentals payments, never mind have a dodgy USB right. stick.
Still renting a telly, which is weird, isn't it?
There's a reference for anyone under the age of 40. Yeah. So, in Paddy's Challenge, you'll each be asked three multiple choice questions posed by the voice of Paddy Power, Alistair McGowan. Mm. The winner is the player that scores the most points. In the event of a tie, you'll both win the chance to raise some cash for your charities. Last week, it was a draw. Andy, you backed Palace Spurs to end in a score draw, while Paul, you went for Son.
I like Son.
Yeah, exactly. For Son to score any time in that same game. On the night, Tottenham won 4-0. Son scored in the 72nd minute. That means, Paul, you get the first win of the year. You would have won £15, but Paddy, you're feeling generous, and they've doubled it, so £30 in the kitty for the Sporting Memories Network. Excellent. Let's see if we can raise some more charity cash for this week's Paddy's Challenge. The virtual coin toss has taken place off air. It's a quick affair, not a stupid, drawn-out 16-minute affair. And Andy, you are going first. If you're ready, here is your first question.
Wrexham's fairy tale season shows no signs of slowing down after they won 4-3 away at Coventry in the third round of the FA Cup. In which year did the Welsh side last reach the fourth round? A. 1995, B. 2000, or C. 2012?
Absolutely no idea. I remember they had a good run and they played Arsenal, but
that was the Mickey Thomas. That was a bit earlier, wasn't it?
I've no idea. Middle one.
1 point to Andy.
Absolutely right.
See,
again, the strategy's paying off.
A guess doesn't hurt, as he couldn't be bothered to remember the years.
It'd be a real shame if Wrexham's cup run distracts their league ambitions, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course. It wouldn't be funny.
We'd all be gutted if they stayed in the National League for another season. So 1 point to Andy. Paul, it's time for you to try and get an equaliser. Here we go.
League Two Stevenage gave their fans a day to remember as they scored twice in the final minutes to beat Aston Villa in their third round FA Cup tie. When did Stevenage last make it through to the fourth round? A. 2009-10 season, B. 2013-14 season, or C. 2018-19 season?
Wow, that's difficult, isn't it?
It's tricky.
The middle one.
1 point to Paul.
Absolutely right. For the benefit of any Woking fans listening, if you still hate Graham Wesley, clap your hands. But yes, Stevenage Borough and their town full of roundabouts. Well done. Well done, Borough.
So bitter.
Yep.
So bitter. All the Farnborough fans are all backing you up there.
100%.
Andy Smart will be he'll be marching on it with a pitchfork. Anyway.
Just remember, what goes up must come down. So, Andy, question number two.
Charlton boss Dean Holden is also an ardent Manchester United fan, and once bluffed his way into Old Trafford dressed as what? A. A member of the officiating team. B. A team mascot. Or C. A steward.
It was a steward.
Yeah.
Good one.
Yeah, there was a bloke who bluffed his way into TalkSport pretending to be quite a senior member of management recently, but there's a story for another day. 2-1 to Andy. And Paul, here is your second question.
Yeah.
After scoring his 265th goal for Spurs in their FA Cup third-round win over Bournemouth at the weekend, Harry Kane moved within one goal of Jimmy Greaves' club record. Greaves' 265th goal also came in a third-round FA Cup match in 1970, but against which team? A. Hull City, B. Birmingham City, or C. Bradford City?
Wow. That's difficult.
That is a hard question.
That is. I mean, the old Spurs historian might be probably not struggling with that. I knew about the record, and I was going to say I knew about the amount of goals, but I probably even went to the game. I'm going to go. It wasn't Birmingham City, was it?
Oh dear.
Incorrect. It was Bradford City.
Wow.
So you had the right consonant, just a little bit further north.
Wow. Okay.
So there we go. So Andy, an opportunity for you to win it now. Two out of three, and you're going for three in a row. So here we go. Question three, Andy.
Former England keeper Karen Bardsley paid tribute to which rock legend during the draw for the fourth round of the FA Cup? A. Tom Jones. B. Rod Stewart. Or C. Mick Jagger.
Oh, that's difficult because I didn't see the draw. Oh, I'm going middle one.
He's done it again.
Game, set and match, Andy.
It was friend of TalkSport and good friend of mine personally, Rod Stewart. Rod, yes. If you're listening, thanks again for Vagabond Heart, your classic 1991 album. Anyway, Rod, an internet sensation in 2017, of course, during that Scottish Cup draw with his over-enthusiastic antics when removing the balls from the pot, leaving fans in stitches.
Andy Jacobs, the middle one.
The middle one, clearly a good one. Are we going to do Paul's final question for fun?
Yeah.
Here we go. Question three, Paul.
Former Arsenal vice chairman David Dean has called for football matches to be reduced from 90 to 60 minutes. According to research, what is the average time a ball is in play during Premier League games? A. 72 minutes. B. 68 minutes. Or C. 55 minutes.
It's 55 minutes.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. So a little bit of dignity.
Imagine Nick Pope in a 60-minute game. You'd only been there for about 2 minutes, wouldn't you? Yeah. You'd barely have time to take your seat.
That is shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolutely terrible. Wow. Well, not so terrible is Andy with your three in a row and a new tactic here, I think, the middle one.
Yeah.
One for the pub quizzes up and down the country late this week. Congratulations to you. Today's winner, you've won a free £10 bet that Paddy Power will place for you to try and win some cash for your charity. What are you going to go for?
City to beat Southampton tonight by 2 clear goals.
Oh, here we go. Well, we'll see how you get on and reveal the winner and season totals, if I'm still here, next week.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath after that. But Fletch, thank you very much. That was this week's Paddy's Challenge. Thanks to our friends at Paddy Power. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Paddy's Challenge on TalkSport with Paddy Power.
18+, begambleaware.org.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We will do it all again tomorrow. Myself and Charlie. Oh, Andy, you'll pop up at 3:30 for the birthday spread. Yeah. Are the gags good this week?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a struggle yesterday.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm sure you'll pull out the bag as you always do.
Some good old favourites that I could rely on.
Good. Excellent. All right, then. Well, do hope you can join us from 1. If not, the podcast will be available from 4. But for now, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.